All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Oh look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Let's go. What are you... You're holding us up.
I'm not holding anybody up.
Clock is ticking,
I'm easing into the episode.
Clock is ticking.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
How's the iPhone release treating you?
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 161.
You're off by about 100 episodes, but who's counting?
263, and we're calling it meh.
It's kind of how we feel this week.
M-E-H. Meh.
It may or may not have anything to do with the episode. It's just kind of one of those weeks.
Yes, and in fact, if you... are the lucky person who figures out how meh has what meh has to do with the episode, and you call the GVM line
425-920-6050.
Are we going to give them the Dickie Page keychain?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see. Some sort of prize. So there you go. All you have to do is figure out how meh is part of tonight's show.
That's right.
Call the GVM line.
That's right. 425-920-6050.
And you will win a prize, TBNL.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
Wow, we're not messing around. We're really just...
banging it out,
we're just
sir.
Going. We're just moving forward.
Banging it out.
All right. How about...
like, we are the four horsemen on a DC line. We are
wow,
banging it out.
Nice. All right, we're going to start big.
Successfully. Just in case that was misinterpreted anywhere. You know how Cornboy gets.
I know.
If we say something and it's not like, you know.
You know, I'm going to say congratulations to Cornboy.
On his Marine son.
On his Marine son.
Do we know that the kid survived?
Yeah, I think Cornboy and his wife were down there maybe today.
Yeah.
Post, I forget the name of the whatever it is.
The gauntlet.
It's like 72 hours of
Odyssey.
Chaos. The Crucible, is that what
it is? Crucible might be the Crucible.
Something along those lines. But either way,
Odyssey.
Congratulations to Cornboy and his Marine son Nick and all of those good things.
Was it
well
Nick?
Wishes. I believe it's Nick.
He's got like seven kids. So
I know. He creates kids like he creates toys.
you would think some of them would have better articulation. You pick out which I'm talking about there. The toys are the kids. No, yeah, seriously. Congratulations to Nick Cornboy.
That's right. All right.
It's actually not Nick. It's actually H. Nick Cornboy.
Oh, right.
So
Just we still don't know what the name H correct. Stands for.
I know what the H stands for.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. And he was right not to use it.
Manimal.
It wasn't Haas, though, which I was Haas. So hoping it would be Haas, but it wasn't.
Manimal.
Manimal.
I figured I'd go big.
Uh-huh.
Getting the big screen treatment, it looks like.
Manimal, like the TV show Manimal?
Like the TV show Manimal.
Now, wasn't friend and really adored friend of this program, Melody Anderson?
Was she part Manimal? Of Manimal?
I believe she was, sir.
Oh, wow.
I could be way wrong, but I'm pretty sure. If you look that up, I bet you'll find whether I'm right or not. Melody Anderson, of course, as some of you may know, Dale Arden from the 1980 Flash Gordon movie featuring Sam J. Jones as Flash Gordon. You may have seen Sam recently in the movie Ted, where he reprised his role as Flash Gordon, sort of, more as himself as Flash Gordon. You may also know that Big Kev's Geek Stuff, home of the only Flash Gordon commentary ever done by Sam Jones and Melody Anderson for the Flash Gordon movie. We produced it. We own it. It's ours. We have we may have another we may have found some lost copies of that, OG.
Detective Brooke McKenzie.
I was right.
On Manimal.
Manimal. So now what we have to do is we have to get Melody Anderson on the phone so she can react to this outrage that they're going to try to remake Manimal.
It looks like Sony has picked up the rights to develop this into a film. All right. So this is what I have to say about this. The show was kind of ridiculous. However,
it was 80s sci-fi.
The base premise of the show was decent. And I could see maybe in this current culture in which we exist, someone trying to do something with it.
Awful effects in the TV show.
Oh, terrible.
Awful.
Terrible.
Are there any YouTube clips at all of it? You should watch them.
I'll try to find some and post some on the interwebs. Let's talk about Arrow, the show that won't go away.
The show that, again, another humongous spread in Entertainment Weekly.
Right. And it was actually a pretty good spread.
Yeah. I have and a good things. Article.
It was a good article.
Two pictures.
There were
three pictures. Actually.
There are some new images that have popped up online of yet another villain.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Royal Flush Gang, which in the book, in some of the old Green Arrow books, it was ridiculous. They were like, they almost kind of looked like the card guards from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, silly.
But the image from the show, it looks like it's a bank heist. And it's, I'm assuming based on the image, and I think you're probably looking at that image right now.
Right.
I'm assuming it's the hostages possibly coming out of the bank, mixed, interspersed with members of the gang. And they're all wearing just white masks with different card suits on them.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The image looks decent.
Interesting.
So that was pretty interesting. The thing that I'm actually even more excited about, I think, and I'll tell you why in a second, was brought to my attention by friend of the show, Matt Booker from Automatic Comics.
Oh yeah, him.
DC Entertainment has solicited Arrow, a new monthly miniseries or a new monthly series or a month or a miniseries that's going to be based on the show, which right off the bat sends up all the alarms of Stinksville. Except that art by Mike Grell.
You're fucked.
In issues like 1 and 2.
You're screwed.
How could you not be excited by that? I mean, if you're a Green Arrow fan, art by Mike Grell doing anything Arrow related is just
pretty good stuff.
It's pretty good stuff. So yeah. That's pretty exciting. I'll be interested in checking that out. I'm starting to hope the show gets good, which is meaning I'm setting myself up for disappointing.
Kind of like you were really hoping that the new version of the book would be really good. Then he used that little gun that shoots arrows.
That movie is El Stinko.
No, not the movie.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Book,
the book is El Stinko.
El Stinko. Is that your thing?
That is
my
new thing.
We have to get t-shirts now that say El Stinko?
El Stinko. And it's going to be my rotting corpse zombie sketch that Rich Page did.
Dickie Page. Dickie Page working on a zombie sketch
He is.
Say other members of the show?
He is, in fact, doing that.
Big Rat, perhaps?
I don't know about Big Rat. We'd have to bring Big Rat out from the grave. I wonder if he's alive.
It's not the grave. The rat is fine.
Says you. I haven't seen him in a while. He might have met that big mousetrap in the sky.
I think we may have Little Fifi next week, too.
Oh, really?
A little Fifi's Who stuff.
I've been caught up on The Who.
Are you?
I've been watching The Who.
Doctor Who. Let's Doctor make Who. The distinction.
Not the Who, the band.
Right.
The Doctor.
Correct.
Who's not really a doctor. He's kind of an
Yeah, anyway. We get it.
James
Gunn. Even I know that. Never seen an episode.
Right. James Gunn.
He is the killer, one of the killer's aliases in Silence of the Lambs.
Not that James Gunn. This would be the James Gunn that directed. He worked on Slither, and he worked on The Super.
Oh, so far you're really impressing me.
He is
Strike Two.
You ready?
Uh huh.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
writer slash director for Guardians of the Galaxy. Now,
dude, please tell me you have another movie that he's directed. Please, anything.
Let me see. Hold on.
Because right now I'm really scared.
Well, hold on. Have you seen Slither?
Yes, I fucking seen Slither.
Slither was good.
No, sir.
Yes, it was.
No, sir.
Slither was lovely.
No, you're just saying that because Mal Reynolds is in it.
But it was a funny movie,
sir.
It was a fun horror film.
Sir, did you like Snakes on a Plane?
I did not like Snakes on a Plane.
It's the same goddamn movie with no plane.
Same movie.
Let's see.
He worked on Dawn of the Dead, Slither.
He worked on it in what way?
Hold on.
I want directorial experience.
Oh, he wrote Lollipop Chainsaw. I didn't realize that.
Oh, cool. Did he ever do anything good, sir? Anything?
He wrote the screenplay for Dawn of the Dead.
Which one?
The new one.
Okay.
Which I liked.
That was pretty good.
I haven't seen Super. Did you see the Super?
Yes.
Super? Was it terrible?
Yes.
That's really, I mean, Slither, which I liked. I liked Slither. Scooby-Doo 2. The first Scooby-Doo. But anyway.
This is clearly the man who should start a new Marvel franchise opportunity here.
Well, I'm just saying.
Here's what I'm saying. El Stinko.
I hope. Well, you know, we'll see.
What's his name?
James Gunn.
Wrong. It's El Stinko, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
You're jumping to conclusions.
with so much confidence, I don't even care if there's a net.
Fine. Of course. Captain America. Speaking of El Stinko.
President Captain America.
That's right. That is President America. Captain America made the new president in the Ultimates universe.
Yeah, interesting. Because why?
I don't really know. I think it's
wrong,
because
no one cares.
Well, no, I think in the Ultimate Universe, he's kind of there to like bring together different factions that have separated. Don't fall asleep at the mic. What are you, Mike Francesa?
Sorry.
You're terrible. Anyway, Cap is now president in the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, man, it's just so easy to stop reading Marvel books.
You know, I read something today
that
said that Daredevil,
while not
relaunching, will not be affected by Marvel Now. Will continue.
Really?
So I don't know how true that is.
That's interesting.
But there's a couple of books that are on that list of non-affected books.
Is Cap one of them?
No, Cap's getting the...
Of course.
Cap, Winter Soldier, that's two books that are getting the treatment.
Axe?
But anyway, so there you go.
The Phoenix treatment. They're going to be burned and brought back from the ashes.
One can only hope.
Or the ash holes, depending on you.
Terrible.
Come on, that was funny.
Did you see the new Hobbit trailer?
No.
It hit today, I think, or yesterday. Maybe.
What?
I saw it on MTV.com, maybe, or Blaster.com, one of the two. It's pretty good.
Is it online?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, Apple has it too. QuickTime has it too.
Oh, I think we should perhaps maybe watch that during the break, sir.
We could do that.
Okay.
It is, it's pretty epic looking.
I'm going to smack one back to you.
Okay.
Did you see the Lincoln trailer?
I did see the Lincoln trailer.
Fucking fabulous.
Amazing.
I got a little problem.
Okay.
Because every impersonation or performance or voice actor that's ever done anything with Lincoln always has that kind of, that I'm Abraham Lincoln and I'm serious and deep, except for the fact that we all know that's not historically accurate.
Right.
But because it's said that he had a higher pitched voice for somebody of his stature, I believe that's how it was.
Right.
However, I couldn't reconcile it with Daniel Day-Lewis. I couldn't do it. During the trailer, I was like, it's bothering the shit out of me. The voice is bothering the shit out of me.
Oh, I loved it.
I probably get over it in the first 10 minutes of the, movie,
of the actual
but
film.
I can't get over it now. So it's bugging me, but I think it'll pass, though.
All right.
Looks fabulous.
Well, I think we could probably take our first break.
In that case, OG, let's take that first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 263. Meh.
Ahoy, ahoy. Welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. From the makers of Shank and Shank 2, I know, thanks for the warning. That's a Doug Benson joke. Comes the recently released Xbox Live arcade game, Mark of the Ninja. And holy shirt, is it amazing. It's a 2D side-scrolling stealth game that gives you a visual cue for each action, so you can be sure a guard will see or hear what you're about to do. The game is about 7 hours, but the time will fly by as you compulsively play through the game, promising yourself just one more level and then I'll shut off the game. I can't recommend Mark of the Ninja more, so go play it. And there's even a demo to try before you buy. Mark of the Ninja is out now on XBLA. Somehow throughout the years, I found a way to put off playing Borderlands, which is for the best because Borderlands 2 is said to be even better than the first, in every way. Millions of more gun combinations, more variety of environments, and overall a more refined and even prettier game. And luckily for me, Borderlands 2 is set up in a way where you need not have played the first game. In fact, lead designer Randy Pitchford said, "Start with Borderlands 2. It's a better game." I'm paraphrasing, but you get the gist. I'm only several hours into a 30-hour game, level 10, but I find my main complaint is lack of mission variety. And the game is all about guns. You collect guns, you shoot bad guys with these guns, you compare the stats of guns, 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 guns. And for that, I am not completely digging it. But I'm 100% certain that this is my fault. We're playing too many games with dialogue trees and alternative stealth routes, which Borderlands 2 has none of. It's all about shooting things dead. And if you enjoy frantic firefights, I suggest you pick up Borderlands 2. Jump into a 4-player online co-op mission now on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. PU? No, Wii U. Nintendo has finally gotten off their asses and announced that the Wii U will be released on November 18th. Which I totally called since the original Wii was released on November 19th. There will be two versions of the console sold. The basic model will cost $300 and include the console, the gamepad being that tablet with the buttons on the sides, which I wish they would call the Wii Pad, because it sounds like something a dog would piss on. I think I've made that joke before, it's still funny. And 8 gigs of internal hard drive storage. And that's it. No sensor bar, no Wiimotes, go take a walk. The deluxe model costs $350 and include the console, the gamepad, 32GB of hard drive space, a copy of their Nintendo-themed mini-game collection, Nintendo Land, and a recharge cradle for the gamepad. But still no Wiimote, no nunchuck, take your ass to GameStop, you have some accessories to buy. So what do we think about this? I thought if the Wii U sold for more than $250, it was screwed. The original Wii console didn't take off until your parents started asking, "What's this Wii bowling all about?" and then went out and bought their first console since the black and white Game Boy in 1989 to play Tetris. With their original Wii system collecting dust, I just don't think your aunt and uncle are going to fork over $350 for a new console. The non-gamer is just not going to peek their heads back in at this price point, and the cost is $300 to $350 because of this gamepad. Because people like tablets. No, people like iPads. I'll have to wait and see on this, but I don't think I'm wrong. Then again, the villains never think they're the bad guy. With new Super Mario Bros. U being released at launch, the console's gonna have a good Christmas, but beyond that, it's just cheaper to buy a PlayStation 3 or Xbox. And finally, announced exclusively for the Wii U is Bayonetta 2. A game which I love and have played through multiple times is now getting a sequel on a console that doesn't deserve it. That's not what I meant. A console I don't have. The story goes that Sega canceled the game and it was never going to come out at all, until Nintendo jumped in and was smart enough to grab the game. So you can't be too mad since the difference is exclusive to Wii U or not at all. Hopefully there's some sort of time exclusivity deal with this and we'll see an Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 port. Or you just might have to dig into your pockets and buy a Wii U. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey guys, this is Jeff from Albuquerque. I'm listening to the podcast, and as far as the Doctor Strange movie, I definitely have to say that it has to be Daniel Day-Lewis because I loved him in Malcolm X, like you guys were saying, and you know, he looks exactly just like Doctor Strange. So you guys take it easy. Talk to you later. Bye.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 263. Meh.
Meh.
Jeff is pretty funny.
Daniel Day-Lewis does look remarkably realistic in Malcolm X.
That's right.
So Yeah, and Lincoln.
And Lincoln.
And so the Daniel Day-Lewis thing just, that keeps ticking along, I say.
I say as well.
The Hobbit trailer was freaking awesome.
We did watch the trailer during the break.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the right amount of everything it needs to be the Hobbit trailer.
Yes.
It's got the right amount of serious.
It's got everything.
It's got the right amount of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the right amount of funny.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
because
think
remember,
so.
The Hobbit is much more lighthearted.
Yeah. And they're really kind of giving you the whole breadth of the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Galadriel
yes.
Was Elrond. In that clip. Elrond is in that clip. So, I mean, you have a lot of that stuff happening.
Yeah. And Martin Freeman as Bilbo, I think, is going to do a great job. I think he's going to do a great job.
Here's what I'm going to say. You know I'm going to agree with you the moment we're watching the movie.
Okay.
Until then, I maintain.
That he's only good as Watson?
McAvoy.
James McAvoy?
Should have been.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I'm not saying, and it's true, though. The moment we see it, it'll be like, how could we ever have thought that? But I set you up now, months in advance of my own words.
That's right.
I'm predicting. What I'll say is Martin Freeman was awesome. I can't even believe we ever thought anyone else would be that part.
You thought anyone else.
Sir, you were right on the bandwagon with
me. Yes, but I have now changed at this point in the game.
Uh-huh.
Geek stuff, DVD news.
Not really a lot of
DVDs. Only a massively important one, though.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
I've actually heard really good things about
that. I do want to see Cabin in the Woods.
I do, too.
And as far as minor DVDs go, Ed Wood also released on Blu-ray.
Ed Wood also out on Blu-ray this week. Of course, the big thing this
major
week
release this week
is Indiana Jones, The Mostly Complete Adventures.
It's the, which is really sad because it's not the complete adventures without the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles. Hello, people.
Yes. We've said
hello.
This. We've said
hello,
this.
McFly.
You know, in an interview that came out, I think it was today or maybe yesterday, Steven Spielberg said that he is on board to do a fifth. And then Harrison Ford
is on board.
The only person that's not on board right now?
George Lucas.
So...
douchebag.
So, no, you know what? To this I say, thank you, George Lucas.
No, they
exercise
won't.
Exercise your restraint.
They won't do it without him.
I understand. Exercise your restraint.
Why? I want another Indiana Jones movie.
I do too.
Let fucking Spielberg write it.
But Spielberg's not going to write it.
I know. That's
so
the problem.
Let Lucas exercise restraint. Let him come up with something he's happy with. Now, I am of the opinion that I did not hate Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I was about to say, because really it's Indiana Jones, the three movies, and that other one.
Right. I did not hate Crystal Skull. That being said, Crystal Skull clearly was not amazing. So rather than another Crystal Skull, I would rather that George Lucas exercise restraint and put it out when he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he just doesn't wait for Harrison Ford to die. Although yeah. Lucas is older. So.
From the looks of him, from the looks of Harrison Ford, could be any day now.
He's looking a little rough around the edges.
Wow. He's like getting to be Clint Eastwood old.
Word.
Just saying.
All right.
If Harrison Ford starts talking empty chairs, we got problems.
We got problems. Yikes.
Geek stuff. Comics, books, and graphic
comics.
Novels.
Huh? I got five this week.
Wow.
That's a big week for me.
That's a huge week for you. That's like a year for you, isn't it?
You want me to go through mine first?
Sure.
Since I probably have more.
We
see
where we loop up. We probably only loop up on that, right?
I'm guessing that's it.
Okay. So why don't you do that one first?
Red Hood and the Outlaws, yes. Number zero.
So this is kind of the before everything. I'm guessing this is going to tell us how they came together, yeah?
Well, the first issue kind of addresses,
I think, some of it.
It does not address, I know.
Big giant arrowhead in the middle.
It does not. I don't think the first issue... Maybe it didn't address Starfire, how she got part of the group. I don't remember exactly, but I'm looking forward to reading it. I really enjoy Red Hood and the Outlaws. So there. Justice League Zero with a big-ass Shazam cover. Jeff Johns, Gary Frank, Ethan Van Sciver.
Ooh.
Working on this particular issue.
Is he the artist of the acclaimed book Cyber Frog?
He is the artist of the acclaimed book Cyber Frog. So check that out.
The only person on the planet that's ever come up to him and said, dude, I love your work on Cyberfrog.
I know. That's why you got that awesome sketch.
I know. I got an awesome Cyberfrog sketch.
Catwoman Zero with the new less than controversial cover out this week.
Oh, that is very sexy, though.
Well, it is.
Just sexy.
Birds of Prey Zero also out this week.
Damn.
Not sure how I feel about the art on the cover of this book. I don't like Black Canary, but I do like Batgirl.
Well, you're kind of,
you know,
like you are. When are they saying she's going to turn up on the Arrow show?
She's on the Arrow show.
But not as Black Canary,
but not
sir.
As Black Canary.
Yes.
Because the one downfall of that show, which I think they're going to have to change, is that they keep on saying no supers. No superpowers. No mm-hmm. one's going to be on the show that has superpowers.
Right.
But Dinah Lance is on the show. How do you have Black Canary without the Canary Scream?
Isn't it Laurel Lance or something?
Is it something else on the show or something?
I believe it is.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is. She's on the show, but she doesn't have her scream, so she's not actually Black Canary.
Who knows?
I don't know how that works.
Who knows?
And of course, I've been reading and enjoying Danger Girl, G.I. Joe, issue 3 is out this week. It's been a fun read. Of course, cover by J. Scott Campbell.
Stop lying to yourself.
I'm enjoying this. I like it.
From Marvel this week, Daredevil number 18, and word of OG is that this book is not being affected, which I have to say I was half hoping it would be affected by the events of Marvel's ridiculousness. From DC, I also picked up OG. I don't understand how you read every single Batman book except Batman Beyond Unlimited.
The cover of that book is intriguing.
I don't understand it. I don't understand. How do you read every Batman book but this one? This one's spectacular.
I think I'll
you like the series.
Maybe I'll be a trader waiter.
Okay, good. Good. Trader waiter. And I also picked up from Dynamite Entertainment, I picked up The Shadow, number 5. Garth Penis and Aaron Campbell doing the writing and artwork.
Who did the cover? Was it Ennis also?
Who did the cover, sir? It's a Dynamite book. I bought it. Who did the cover?
I'm sorry. Each Dynamite
Answer the
book,
question,
it's
sir.
Alex Ross.
Thank you.
Each Dynamite book has something like 60 or 70 covers, so it's hard for me to keep track sometimes.
And I was very torn today between this and the Howard Chaykin cover.
That's who I thought it was at quick glance that it might have been Chaykin.
But I didn't really like the Chaykin cover.
Really?
Really. I mean, the Ross cover is fantastic. This is the kind of piece from Alex Ross that I would actually buy.
Like a print of?
No, I was going to say the original. If his agent didn't charge like $13,000 or $14,000 for it.
Right.
This is the kind of thing.
It's a nice piece.
Did a print of this in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's nice.
I would get it. It'll never happen, but I would get it.
Dynamic Forces.
Yeah.
They're still around, right?
Yeah. I got a trade, too, of sorts. A book.
Is that a trade?
No, it's not.
It looks like it should be a giant trading card pack.
So this is the Mars Attacks book.
Right.
It's tiny. It's about like 6 by 5 inches, something like that.
Okay.
And the cover of the book is actually the wax pack from the old Mars Attacks trading cards. Now, before there was a shitty Tim Burton movie
right.
about Mars Attacks. Mars Attacks was simply an unbelievably popular underground trading card set.
That's right.
In like the 60s.
60s probably, yeah. Right? Or late 50s, and early 60s, somewhere in there probably.
1962.
Oh, okay.
So it's 50th anniversary is what we're
And
what
who
we're
put
selling.
This out? Did Topps put this out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The book came from Topps. I don't know if the original cards came from Topps. I think they did.
Yeah, they were Topps.
Look, here's a little info, sir. It says Mars Attacks is back. The infamous science fiction trading card series produced by Topps in 1962. Yeah. There you go. Celebrates its 50th anniversary with this first ever compilation, including high quality reproductions of the original series of 55 cards, as well as the hard to find sequel from 1994.
That's awesome.
Preliminary sketches by Wally Wood and Bob Powell, concept art, rare test market materials, censored cards,
ooh,
and more. Also includes an introduction by series co-creator Len Brown, and an afterwards by Zena Saunders, daughter of the artist Norm Saunders, providing an insider's behind-the-scenes view of the bizarre and compelling world of Mars Attacks.
All right.
So it's basically all that information, but then they're just reprinting the cards.
But you know what, though? That's a great set. That's a great way.
Awesome book.
And is that front and back?
Front and back on the cards.
So the way it is, the layout of the book is the page that you're looking at is the front of the car. Turn the page, the back of that page is the back of the card.
Wrong, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
No, you're actually getting, on the right side, you're getting the card.
Right.
And the left side is the back of the
card. Oh, it's the back of the card. Yeah. Okay.
But that's not the way it is. That's not the way all of them are. Some of them are actually stacked one on top of each other. Maybe that's just the 94 cards.
Right.
You get the card on the top and the back on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But that's pretty damn amazing. That,
that's a nice little book. I like that.
I've always wanted... This is so stupid. This is one of the stupid things that you always think when... I always think when I see something like this. When Mars Attacks came out, the movie...
Right.
Right? I was like... I was really excited because I've always seen Mars Attack cards at shows and stuff. And I'm always like, why is that card $14?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, shit. It looks like somebody wiped their ass with it. You know? Meanwhile, you could buy Star Wars cards like... Like, there's nobody business. You can buy for like a nickel a piece. But Mars Attack cards. Oh, so, like, since I was about 17, I've wanted a set of Mars Attack cards.
Now you don't need it.
And now I don't need it. Because not only do I not need it, because every card in here is reproduced and it's high quality, glossy paper.
Right.
I mean, it's fantastic. I could scan one of these and make posters.
Sure.
I'm not saying anyone should do that.
No, that would be illegal.
Yes. But, I mean, these are great reproductions. I don't really need to go out and spend the... several hundreds of dollars into the four digits in order to get a set of
these. Sure, absolutely.
And on top of that, they have other materials and other, they have the what the wax packs look like. They have some other art and things. This is a really fantastic book. And I think it only ran $20.
Nice.
I mean, the book is $20 and it's got to be, I'm checking right now, man, but it's got to be like several hundred pages. It doesn't say how many pages, but it's several hundred
pages.
What a terrific, terrific book from the Topps Company.
Lovely.
Yeah, that's amazing. So definitely check that out. If you're not a fan of Mars Attacks because you saw that terrible movie, you know, before that terrible movie came out, you know, when you saw the Mars Attacks card, you were like, damn, that's harsh. Because now everybody looks at him and is like, remember those funny aliens in that awful Tim Burton movie? You know, but before that, they were all serious and shit. I don't know. Anyway, check that out from Topps. It's going to run you about $20. A terrific book.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product. I've got two things. You've got one thing. You go first.
Oh.
The binder.
Oh. I'm like, what? What's the one
We've
thing?
Been teasing this binder
What's
for like
one thing.
One every fortnight we've been teasing this binder.
Every fortnight. from our friends, and no, they're not really our friends. Over at the Eagle Moss Company.
That's right.
The DC Chess Collection has come out with a binder. It's gonna run you about $14. Now, what we've been saying about the DC Chess Collection, and why don't they just call it the Batman Chess Collection?
I'm not quite sure.
Every piece that you get comes with a little book, and the book describes the character. It also describes what the piece he is, does, and so on and so forth.
Right.
It amounts to, I don't know, a couple of pages, 8, 10, 12 pages, a little book. Well, now they've put out a binder, which you can actually bind all of these things together.
That binder doesn't look like it would hold all of them.
Oh, but, sir, see how this is like...
Oh, I see how it is. It's just packaged weird.
Oh, yeah. It's packaged flat.
Yeah, it's packaged flat.
So
okay,
when
so
you,
it pops
and you
out.
Pop it up, yeah, it's a big, thick binder.
Yeah.
So the thickness of the binder is like, what would you say? 3 inches? 2.5, 3 inches?
Yeah, that's like a 3-inch, 3-ring binder.
And it's in
I
the rings
say.
Are in there. You
yeah.
can see them there. So, yeah, okay. Definitely
I
a cool.
I didn't realize. I thought it was only that thin. And I was like, there is no way they're going to fit in there.
We're enjoying some graphic artwork on the binder. That looks like Jim Lee to me. The Batman does. I don't know about the Joker on the back.
There's no credits.
No. But in any event, we just want to mention it really quick because if you are getting these chess pieces, this binder I think is essential because you get to keep all those books together in one place in a beautiful binder. Yeah. And I guess the next piece that's not a piece of the chess game will be the board. I guess that's coming at some point in the near future as well. Because I think the board was solicited a month or so, maybe a month or two after this binder was. So we can enjoy that pretty soon. So it's from Eagle Moss. It's the binder for the DC Chess Collection. I think the retail is about $14. So check it out.
Lovely.
And with that, OG.
Nanodots.
All right.
Nanodots. All right. So these are something I've kind of had my eye on for a while.
Okay.
I think I saw them at Toy Fair, actually.
You did?
Maybe a year ago.
Okay.
Maybe, or 2 years ago. And then I'd seen them popping up online. They are tiny magnetic dots. I don't know how else to describe them. But what's really impressive
does,
about these things...
Does Jamie have anything to do with these?
No, Jamie does not have
is
anything
to do with these. Is he
endorsing
these? No. Or?
What's really crazy about these, uh-huh. which is what I started seeing online that drew my attention, is what people do with them.
Okay.
So there's a website called www.pedia.com.
Okay.
And it's all these like crazy elaborate sculptures that people are like
doing with these dots,
making out of like nano dots.
Okay.
Like it's just,
that looks like a 20 sider.
That was a 20 sided die.
Okay.
I don't know. There's a bunch of like, yeah, I'm just trying to pull up some images. I'll show you some pictures.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty kinda cool.
Kind of nutty.
So Nanodots reached out to me and said, hey, we've got some new product coming out.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, I would love to talk about your product.
Nice.
One of the problems with Nanodots and other things like this, magnetic games in general, and I have actually seen this being a father. You see warnings and things pop up. There's like problems with magnets, kids eating them.
Yeah.
Because it's not good for them.
Okay. So don't feed Nanodots. Yeah. Don't confuse the Nanodots with those that awful ice cream dots. What the fuck are those things called?
So Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots.
So they've got a bunch of new Nanodots still coming out. There's actually some legislation trying to like ban these. All the same kind of problems that I had with like lead toys, where you know all sorts of restrictions and legislation. So what Nanodots is doing is, rather than pulling the product, they've been figuring out ways to
keep kids from eating it.
Keep kids from eating it.
Make it taste like medicine. That'll keep it away.
So what you're holding there
is
something new that's coming out called Aversive Tech on those Nanodots.
Okay, it's Aversive Tech.
Yep. Guess why?
They're connected.
They have a strong aversive taste.
No way. There's
a coating on the dot.
I was joking about that. I know you were,
but here.
What? No, I gotta taste it.
Taste it. I did it yesterday. I gotta taste it. It's heinous.
I got it. Oh! Oh!
See?
No!
You would not eat that.
God, I need a drink. Oh, my God. Why didn't you warn me?
You would put that in your mouth.
Oh, never again. Oh, my God. It's like I ate my own shoe.
Oh, my God. So fun to play with.
Oh, my God.
But will likely not be swallowed.
What did they coat it with? Holy crap. Should paint this stuff. Oh, my God.
Aversive Tech does not wash off. It's extremely durable. And the degree of aversion can be modified according to requirements, which is, again, they're still working on these. These are prototypes. There's not a lot of people that have these.
God. Oh, man. That is, I just touched my tongue to the end. Oh my God. Oh God, it's like in my whole mouth. Holy, what, they coated with acid? Oh my God.
So you have an awesome toy.
God, kids will never eat these. Holy crap.
And that's the point of,
I'm averted to play with these at this point. Oh my God.
No, playing with them is fine. They are fun to play with. There are some great things
Does
that you can make.
Does it wash off on your hands? Like, am yeah, I gonna, no, like,
your
eat
hands,
a sandwich?
No, and, your hands will be fine. The coating stays on the dots.
Oh my God. Wait. No.
Oh, the coating stays on the dots.
Oh no, it does not. You cannot lie, sir.
So, anyway, I think these are really neat.
Oh, I'm averted to eating my own hand now. Oh, my God. That is wretched. Oh, my God.
I really like these. These are really
Holy
awesome.
Holy crap. That should be a flavor in the the box beans.
Nanodot.
What are those other ones? What were they called when they lost Bots beans?
Oh, they were just called,
what are they called?
I don't
Bean
remember.
Boozled.
Bean Boozled. Bean Boozled. Yeah.
I cannot go on. No, I cannot go on.
Yes, you have to go on because we're going to move past Nanodots in a second. I just want to tell people that you could check these out. Check out, I believe it's just nanodots.com. Hold on.
Oh my God.
Yeah, just check out nanodots.com. The new.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
The new color line is coming out. You have there I should say that the canisters
are mine unflavored.
Yes, I believe those are not.
Oh my god!
Yours are not Aversive Tech. That is just the durable coating, which is something else they're tinkering with. Uh-huh. We both have the blue editions here.
Non-aversive tech.
Yeah. There are two different ways you can get these. They come in a little pouch, which is what I
or your enemy slips it into your food. Oh my god.
And there's also a display case. So you have the cube there.
Yeah.
And that's the display case.
Okay.
You could pop the obviously you could play with it, but it's meant to be able to display what you create inside the So
does I have to ask, does Aversive Tech come with gloves? It's fucking horrible. Oh my god, it's so bad. What's
Look.
Oh my god.
I think it's very innovative to try to get kids not to eat it. And apparently
Listen. Did you I have to know. Did you try that?
Yes.
And you didn't warn me? Oh my god, dude. This could be the greatest diet ever because it's whenever you feel hungry. You just get a little Aversive Tech on your finger. Holy crap.
Just lick a nano dot.
Oh my god, dude. Holy. I hope that was the desired effect, folks, because I'm adverse. That's for sure. Right,
take the Aversive Tech out of it. What do you think of it as a building toy? It's not bad. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it's great. Just don't lick your fingers after.
Just don't lick the dots, the point.
Oh, right. Man. If I was a kid, I would be crying.
All right.
Let's
move past nano dots.
I'm trying. I keep sticking my sleeve in my mouth. I try to wipe it away. It just won't go. It won't go, man. It's like ghost pepper, but not hot. It's just like, it's just there. It's fucking, it's terrible. Oh my god, dude. Oh my god.
You know.
Oh my god. I wish we didn't have some more great product because we so desperately need a break right now.
Why don't we save it?
Oh my god. No, seriously? Do you want to? No, I can move on. Come on. I'll try and focus.
All right. Two things. Before we get to this, let's save this for last.
Okay.
Rich Page, Umi Toys.
Okay.
Is going to be at booth 3261. That's our booth over at New York. New York.
Dickie Page.
Dickie Page. He's put out a series of keychains based on his character Bonehead.
Okay.
Each keychain comes with a little sticker.
Okay.
And, I think they're kind of blind. Like, I don't think you get to pick which one you get. He's got a bunch of different designs. we've got a couple here in the studio, but they're really cool. You should check out Rich Page's store. Check out all the good things he's got. He's got an awesome print coming to the table for New York Comic Con.
Oh, yeah?
Let me see
the other one.
It's a little 3PO and a little R2 running away from an AT-AT. Oh, it's fantastic.
Really?
I'll try to find an image of the print. I know I have it, and I'll post it in the image gallery. But so check out the Bonehead keychain.
Yeah,
check
totally.
Out everything he's got for sale. Of course, he's going to have prints at our table. He's going to have those DD exclusives, too. A couple other things.
You have, like,
big piece. I don't have anything.
Do you have, like, a lifesaver?
I do not have a lifesaver.
Do you have non-aversive anything?
From Kid Robot. From Kid Robot.
I'm trying.
This is an 8-inch dunny.
Fucking fabulous.
It's amazeballs.
I gotta have it. It's gonna be expensive as hell for me to get, but I gotta have it.
This is the Doc A Ironclad Decimator.
Right. So it kind of looks... I'm sorry. I'm really trying. It kind of looks like his dunny from the black and white series.
It's a combination of that.
Uh-huh.
Cause the dunny from the black and white series had the spark between the ears.
Right.
But if you remember, it was kind of like a mad scientist.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
But the design on the body and the rest of the sculpt is it's his rupture design, which he did. The first appeared, I think, in the UK Dunny series. I mean, it might have appeared in some of his personal stuff, but mass production.
Okay.
The UK Dunny series, and then again in Android Series 2, he had a rupture Android. And actually, there are three versions of the Ironclad Decimator. There's this version,
which is, I think, one of the cooler versions.
Well, this is like the mechy, steampunky.
Yeah.
This is kind of like, this is what I think of when I think Doc A and his style.
Right.
But then there's the rupture version, which is the pink and black, which you're seeing now. And then there is the chase, right, which is the black and green.
Yeah. I got to admit, I think I like this one the best.
This is the one that I really wanted. And it's amazing because people online, or people were buying them in the store, they were blind bagged.
Oh,
they
were, really?
They came in this box.
Yeah, I see that.
But inside the box is a blind bag.
Oh, so you
so
didn't
So people
know.
Were getting the chase and pissed because they wanted this one.
Wow.
But, you know, the chase is selling for like $300 online. Well, so you sell the chase
and you buy this one.
And you have some bucks left over. So, yeah, definitely, if you could score one of these on the secondhand market, you absolutely should. Doc A is going to have a show at My Plastic Heart on, I believe, the Thursday or Friday night of New York Comic Con.
Oh, we got to go to that.
We are definitely going
to
that.
We got something to go to like every night of Comic Con.
That's kind of how it is. You know that by now. We've been doing this for how many years?
Oh, we got Geek Girls on Saturday.
We have this on Thursday.
Thursday. What's Friday?
Friday might be get together and have fun and go out for dinner night.
Oh, yeah.
It might be like Noodle House night or something. But
Big Kev's meetup night.
Yeah, Big Kev's meetup night. But yeah, this is the Ironclad Decimator. You absolutely need to check this out. You know, it's got a couple points of articulation. The head, the arms move barely, but they do. The
bolts.
Spark is removable.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, and check out the little dude that's operating.
I see that. Really awesome,
it's an awesome piece.
That's really cool.
So yeah, check this out from Kid Robot. It is a Doc A 8-inch. Ironclad Decimator. And with that, let's take another break.
All right.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 263. Meh.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 263, Aversivtech.
No kidding. I'm like, I can't, even during the break, dude. I used a mouthwash that I got in your bathroom. I was like, oh, whatever you can pour in there, nothing.
Gasoline?
Nothing.
Light it.
It's not unlike gasoline. It's the flavor and is not unlike gasoline. Holy crap.
Super power collectibles. Yeah. I don't think they carry none of that.
That's all you, sir.
But what they do carry is some awesome product, statues, busts, toys, comic books. Go over to superpowercollectibles.com. Of course, you can use coupon code BIGKEV and get yourself
$10
off a purchase of $50 or more. And of course, with your purchase of $99 or more, you get free shipping. Use coupon code BIGKEV for both
of those. For both of those.
That's what we're saying, at least.
Mm-hmm. That's the truth.
I know. It'll work.
I'm just saying. Did you have additional things you'd like me to say about superpowers?
No, I wanted you to say, OG, what did we talk about tonight?
Oh, I didn't think you were done.
Oh, yeah, no, that's it.
Well, you know, it's just that there's so much stuff you can get at Superpower Collectibles. I'm just used to us going off on it more.
Statues, busts,
all of it.
Toys,
comics now.
Not nanodots.
He might have nanodots.
You
know what? I don't have a problem with nanodots. As a thing.
It's just the aversive tech.
The aversive tech is
aversive.
It's the most incredible thing I've ever been, unfortunately, the victim of.
I laughed.
From my friend.
I laughed. I cried.
I cried. Holy God, did I cry.
All right.
Oh, my.
Tonight.
OG, what did we talk about in this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff that didn't taste like...
Arrow's miniseries with some art by Mike Grell and the Royal Flush Gang joining the show. Manimal getting its big screen treatment.
We got to call Melody Anderson about that.
All right. Captain America for president.
Ugh.
James Gunn heading up Guardians of the Galaxy.
Since he's now, you know, no longer Silence of the Lambing.
I think that was it. The Lincoln trailer, the Hobbit trailer,
right?
All awesome
all that stuff.
Of course, out on DVD this week, the not so complete Indiana Jones adventures and Cabin in the Woods. Lots of DC number zeros this week.
Yes,
Catwoman, Birds of Prey, Red Hood and the Outlaws, and Justice League are the ones we named on the show. And of course, Danger Girl, G.I. Joe number 3 was my other pick this week.
Daredevil number 18, Batman Beyond number 8, which I still don't understand why you're not reading, and Shadow number 5, I think, rounded out for me this week.
And
also the awesome Mars Attacks 50th Anniversary Collection book. Yeah, really terrific stuff from Topps. Also, in product tonight, we talked about the DC Chess Collection binder.
That's right.
For the books that come with the pieces.
And of course, we talked about nanodots and their aversive tech.
And they are still, it's all over my face, dude, and my hands and everything.
You need a good warshin.
I need, do you have like the lava soap?
I might.
Because I need some pumice or something.
From Kid Robot and Doc A, the Ironclad Decimator, 8-inch Dunny. 8-inch Dunny awesomeness.
Get a sandwich.
You can't get this from Kid Robot anymore. You might be able to get it at some retailers if they still have it in stock. Although I think at this point, it's eBay. I think that's pretty much the only way to go.
Yeah.
So,
who's our buddy over there at Mind Plastic Car? Maybe he's got one.
Vince?
Yeah.
You could try. But I doubt it.
you could try, but no.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, our videos. Check us out at Facebook, Facebook.com/BKGeekStuff. Over at Twitter, at BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG. At New York Comic Con at booth 3261. This year, I believe we are right next to the Cult Yard. I think a block away.
Woo-hoo!
Or a row away. We're right by Eric Scarecrow and Tenacious Toys and a couple of those guys.
What about his suckiness?
I don't know if he's going to have a booth. He normally gloms on to someone else's booth.
You should glom onto our booth.
I can reach out to him and see if he's interested.
Sure.
Of course, don't forget our guests for New York Comic Con this year. Rich Page, Selena from the Jelly Empire.
So far.
Aversive Brain.
This is so far. the aversive technology is...
Eric from Argonaut Resins is going to be there. Friend of the show, Victor, is going to be there with a pretty awesome drop that I don't think I'm allowed to talk about yet.
Banksy is going to be there.
He's not going to be there. And I think we may have another guest that I'm not allowed to announce yet, or they're exclusive.
Is it the Suck Lord?
But it is not the Suck Lord.
Damn!
But because they haven't announced the exclusive yet either. But some awesome stuff coming down the pipe. New York Comic Con, 3 weeks away. 21 days away.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, fast.
Get stuff together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of the Suck Lord, as we close out the show.
I did not watch Gallery Girls.
It's fine. It's fine that you didn't watch Gallery Girls. Have you seen any of those between the shows things?
I have not.
With the super gay guy who runs the Bravo Network now, whatever his name, Andy? I don't even know. I was about to say Andy Samberg. But
no,
that's not it. Whoever that guy is, he's in between all the shows and he's really gay. Not that I have a problem with gays, I don't.
Right.
Behind him, there are two of the Suck Lord's pieces on his set.
Oh, really?
Two of the Gay Empire pieces.
That's awesome.
And I am pissed.
That's awesome.
Because I still don't have one.
You know, I still don't have one of those either, the Gay Empire.
Yeah.
Just the basic Pink Trooper.
Just the basic.
I don't have them. They're on his website. You can buy them.
No, I want it from him.
Oh, well, I'm just saying.
Anyway, with that, OG, if you have nothing else, I will close out this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff by saying good night, H. Nick Cornboy, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Come to this. We try to warn you all, but